नारायणा नमस्कृत्या नरं चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततोजयं उदीरयत् नश्च प्रायेषु अबाधेषु नित्यं भगवति शिवाय भगवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा टू एवरीवन इन द कॉल दिस मॉर्निंग। दिस मॉर्निंग्स टेक्स्ट इज फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5। The canto is called The Creative Impetus. Chapter 11 is entitled Dadbharat Instructs King Rahugan. And we are on text 8. So here's the text. Gunanuraktam vyasanaya janto Shemaya nergunyam ato manasyat yata pradipo gritabhatim ashnan shikha saduma bhajati hyanandaswam padam tata guna karma nubadam vitirmana shayate nyata tatvam. Word for word translation by Srila Prabhupada. Guna anuraktam, being attached to the material modes of nature. Vyasanaya, for the conditioning in material existence. Janto, of the living entity. Shemaya, for the ultimate welfare. Nagunyam, being unaffected by the material modes of nature. Atho, thus, mana, the mind, syat, becomes, yata, as much as, pradipaha, a lamp, grita vartim, a wick within clarified butter, ashnan, burning, shika, the flame, sadhu maha, with smoke, bhajati, enjoys, he certainly, anyada, otherwise, swam, its own original, padam, position, tata, so, guna karma anubadam, bound by the modes of nature and the reactions of material activities. Vritihi, various engagements. Manaha, the mind. Shrayati, takes shelter of. Anyatra, otherwise. Tatvam, its original condition. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the living entity's mind becomes absorbed in the sense gratification of the material world, it brings about his conditioned life and suffering within the material situation. However, when the mind becomes unattached to material enjoyment, it becomes the cause of liberation. When the flame in a lamp burns the wick improperly, the lamp is blackened. But when the lamp is filled with ghee and is burning properly, there is bright illumination. Similarly, when the mind is absorbed in material sense gratification, it causes suffering. And when detached from material sense gratification, it brings about the original brightness of Krishna consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is therefore concluded that the mind is the cause of material existence and liberation also. Everyone is suffering in this material world because of the mind. It is therefore proper to train the mind or to cleanse the mind from material attachment and engage it fully in the Lord's service. This is called spiritual engagement. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam chayo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati tetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So that's the translation. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. We should engage the mind fully in Krishna conscious activities. Then it will be the cause of our liberation for our returning home back to Godhead. However, if we keep the mind engaged in material activities for sense gratification, it will cause continuous bondage and will make us remain in this material world in different bodies, suffering the consequences of our different actions. Om Agnati Mirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatirubhyascha Kripasunibhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadarha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurachase Namaha Ananda Linamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So this text is Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5 Chapter 11 in text 8. Here is the English translation again. When the living entity's mind becomes absorbed in the sense gratification of the material world, it brings about his conditioned life and suffering within the material situation. However, when the mind becomes unattached to material enjoyment, it becomes the cause of liberation. When the flame in a lamp burns the wick improperly, the lamp is blackened. But when the lamp is filled with ghee and is burning properly, there is bright illumination. Similarly, when the mind is absorbed in material sense gratification, it causes suffering. And when detached from material sense gratification, it brings about the original brightness of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So, this is the highly elevated devotee called Jat Bharat who is instructing Maharaj Rahugan. So, we've talked about the situation and how they met. It wasn't the best of situations, but this time we won't go through the details. The only thing I'll say is Jat Bharat is actually Maharaj Bharat, the Maharaj Bharat, the son of Maharaj Rishabhadev, who India was named after. That's who we're talking about. That's so. That messed up basically in American terminology, when he actually left the kingdom and devoted his life fully to Christian consciousness, and he messed up because he deviated from his services. And has that happened before? Sometimes we know somebody is very, very, very involved in the service at some point, very excited about it, and then next thing you know, something has distracted their mind, and now they have, and something that's material has distracted their mind, they've gone into it, and that's the end of that. They've left spiritual life. It's so sad because people don't realize, or such a person doesn't realize, how huge an opportunity they've missed. Going back to Godhead is huge. We can't even tell you how great an opportunity it is. That sometimes you think about it, that if you know those who know Nitya Siddhas, who came from the spiritual world to try to help us, if you just listen to them, they gave the mercy to us, to be chanted Hare Krishna, and they gave the mercy to us, and we went back to the spiritual world. And for some reason, we remembered, sometimes that's not even going to happen, but we remembered what it was like in the material world and actually saw how different the life is. And we're told, listen, this is your natural life. It's been like that all along. You have been fooled big time, with all kinds of allurements in the material world to make you think that you're going to be happy here. It is not possible. It is absolutely impossible to be happy here. But we have so much forgotten what it is in our spiritual world. So we can't even imagine how much we're missing. We simply can't imagine how much we're missing. So Srila Prabhupada is saying this in a very nice grandfatherly way. Everything in the material world is bad. Everything in the spiritual world is good. What more do we need for an instruction? It's direct. Srila Prabhupada is meant, you cannot get anything happier. Not even Brahmaloka. Not even there. Not even in the highest heavenly planet. It is not possible. Now, the lowest heavenly, the hellish planet is the Patanaloka. Forget it. People are suffering there, so we don't even get into that. That's huge suffering that's going on. The worst suffering. But even the planet that is the highest in the material world, you will still find trouble there. See, the nature of the... We all know the way we are. We all like enjoyment. We don't want suffering. But we suffer. Because the material world will make us suffer. It's designed that way. If you think you're happy, even the weather is going to get you. The mosquito, the bugs are going to get you. Now, should I mention coronavirus? How everybody is in some sort of anxiety? Every day something is happening. All kinds of numbers are being thrown about at us as people who died. So whether it's true, whether it's untrue, the different states, the governors are making different decisions. Some of them the people agree with, some of them the people don't agree with it. Even lately now, the governor of Michigan was almost kidnapped because people were not, they said he was being too strict with the rules. And they got tired of it. So this is America now. This is America. That's the irony of it. America is supposed to be the most enjoyable country in the world. And look at us now. It's like, all right, when we told all the while that material world was a place of suffering, well, now if we didn't hear it, now we know the most enjoyable country in the whole world, the most advanced country in the whole world, we are in it. We actually are in it. And now we're running around, and let me be a little bit ironic or sarcastic here, if you excuse me. We're running around like we're medical doctors, wearing masks. Now, how intimidating, how frustrating can it be? She says, how much more should Krishna point out to us that we're not going to be happy here before we get it? We're so interested in our cars, our big houses, but here we are. A little bug has intimidated all of us, and nobody knows where it came from. Well, whether it came from a lab or whether it came from anything, is it outside Krishna's creation? Of course not. Everything is created by Krishna through Lord Brahma. So this place is designed for distress to worry us to the point where the intelligent ones among us will say, we don't want it here anymore. It's just like that. That's all it is. And if you say you don't want it in here anymore, then Krishna's agents, the guru, the senior devotee, the advanced devotee, you know, all of them kick in to help you. The information is already there. So this is our situation. So I will give an example an analogy, a little story that, you know, like, what? Anyway, I don't remember the word right now. To describe our situation, my guru Maharaj, Bhakti Jira Maharaj, made up this story to describe. He said, our situation is like this. You have a friend. You have a friend. You decide to visit your friend. Yeah, this is an allegory. That's the word I remember. This is an allegory he made up. So it relates to us very much. So if you listen, you have a friend. You decide to go visit this friend. You get to the house, and everything normal. You ring the doorbell, and he doesn't respond. So you go, what's happening? So you try the lock, and you find out that the door is unlocked. So well, he's your friend, big deal. You open it, you want to visit him. So you open the door, and you step inside. There he is. Only one problem, though. He's not coming to greet you. He's not mentioning your name. He's on all fours. He's on his hands and knees, and he's barking like a dog. Well, now, I'm not talking about you met a dog. Now, this is your friend, the human being, on all fours, barking like a dog. He's looking, what's wrong with you? Get up. Listen, aren't you my friend? No. The dog is barking. The human being is barking like a dog. You go, what in the world happened? He doesn't even realize he's a human being now. He's just barking like a dog. When Bhakti Jira Maharaj finished saying that, he said, that is our condition. We are like the dog on all fours barking. Not even realizing how dignified we are as human beings. We're not realizing what Krishna has given us in the spiritual world. And we're sitting here thinking we're going to be okay in this crazy place. With this crazy body that we have. And let me add a little more. With this crazy stinking body that we have. Full of stool, urine, all of that. And it's painted out. The skin is made some with nice decorations. So some of us call ourselves beautiful. That thing is going to fall apart in no time. They, you know, spend the entire day here. Komari uvanam jara. Tata de hantara prapti. I'll stop there. The rest of the movie, we won't even get there. This day, you know, has been a tarde. This soul is going through Komani uvanam jara. This soul is going through a baby's body, and then it gets a little, you know, bigger as a teenager, and then it gets an old man or a grown man, and then what happens? It falls apart. Now, we're talking about the physical body now. It falls apart that you have to come out of this body, and then all the pain and the trouble of old age and all the anxieties you've been through this whole life, you don't go back home. No, because you're trying to enjoy here, which is exactly what Jack Barat is talking about. The mind takes people into sense gratification, and because of sense gratification, we don't go out of this. This place, this material world, back to Godhead. So the story we're talking about is the man on all fours, that friend, is us. We have forgotten how to live the natural life. The natural life is spiritual life. We are in a place that is actually Krishna's creation. Of course, through, you know, Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and Lord Brahma, and so on. All the way up to Shivadaksaya Vishnu, who is the Lord in our heart, Paramatma. All that designed here. But this design here is to make the intelligent person tired after a while. You try to make it. We thought we'd be able to make it here. We thought that we are at Krishna's level. We envied Krishna. This is what happened in the spiritual world. Everything is provided. Hear it again. Even the rich person has to work hard here, or work to some extent. Or if they have everything, if they inherited something, a lot of wealth, therefore they didn't have to lift a finger. Still, what do? They narcotize themselves, they involve themselves in heavy sense gratification, and they ruin their bodies. You drink more alcohol, more and more and more alcohol, your liver gets messed up. The same body that you want to enjoy with gives you problem because the liver is broken down. So with all your wealth, you wind up in the hospital. Now you're in pain. Now you're in the hospital bed. You've left your big palace, big house, million-dollar house, and you are in a 2x4 hospital bed. The mockery of it. It's such a mockery. But we still are so blind, not really. I'm talking about the rich person, not even the poor person. The rich person. And how, you know, horrible, how compromised his situation is. Yet, the solution is get out of here. Get out of here. That's all it is. So, to come back to this. Jack Barat is saying, check the mind. Be careful about the mind. Shri Prabhupada is saying, train the mind to get away from sense gratification. What is being said by Jack Barat is it's true. It's not theoretical at all. It is real. And the Nityasiddhas who are in here, those who came from the spiritual world to help us, they are living that life right now. But because their minds are different from our minds, they can only tell us. They can't make us feel it. We will have to feel it. We will have to go through the whole process of chanting Hare Krishna, which is also a very easy process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna, all his energies are invested, literally vested in this holy name. Krishna is absolute. So Hare Krishna is Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya also says, listen, all of his energies are in his name. Krishna, this is Shishastaka. Krishna has invested all of his transcendental energies in his holy name. And he says, if we chant Hare Krishna, there are no rules, no hard and fast rules. Which means everything has been opened to us if we just do it. If we just chant, if we just behave nicely, if we just be careful not to offend anyone, and keep with the process, just serve, even if there are challenges, understand what the goal is, and because the goal is there, say, tell the mind, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to do service anyway. This is our ticket out. You mind better not disturb me about my service, because I want to go home. I'm sick or tired of this place. And if you're not sick and tired of this place, well, then you want more sense gratification. But you're wearing a mask. Where's your mind? You're wearing a mask. Face it. You look in the television anywhere, you look at other countries, they're wearing a mask. The whole world is wearing a mask. Doesn't that tell you something? Do you really want to wear a mask? So this is another thing. So, oh, coronavirus is Krishna Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. So when people, karmis are, you know, non-devotees, are frustrated and, you know, thinking left and right what to do, you know, taking our liberation off and everything, the devotees should think this way. Boy, what a bad situation I put myself in, that now I have to live in a human body with a mask like a doctor, that I'm not a doctor. Now, if that doesn't mean, you know, what else do I need to be told that get out of here and go home? Just go home. That's all. I'm fussing at everybody, but I'm sorry about it, but it's that simple. And we're wasting our time. Chant Hare Krishna, and this body will be the last body. Death is not a big deal. Death is not a big deal. To a devotee, death is not a big deal. Death is Krishna coming to take us back home. To the non-devotee, Krishna is coming to take everything that he worked for, because he liked the material things. But we've been told, Jat Bharat says, don't worry about material things. The mind becomes unattached to material enjoyment. Unattached to material enjoyment, then it is ready. It is a cause of liberation. So the same mind, when it gets absorbed in sense gratification, which is the material world, it brings about conditioned life and suffering within the material situation. This is the translation. And we're making a point now. Krishna is throwing another curveball at us. Now we're wearing masks and we look ridiculous. And now we go to the temple, we have to stand 6 feet farther away. When we try to sing, if we're wearing masks, we sing bhajan or kirtan, the lead singer is singing and you can hardly hear the devotees responding because everybody's got a mask on. You can't even hear the response. And this is real. I went to Philadelphia. I was asked on Janmashtami to come give a lecture there in Philadelphia Temple and also play. I happen to play keyboard. Some people who know that sometimes I take a keyboard to the temple and play and sing. I can play harmonium, but I prefer to play keyboard just for, you know, do something different. So the reason I'm saying this is there are about 30 or so, 40 devotees in the room on Janmashtami. They have to, as part of the program in Janmashtami, you have to be Radha Krishna. They went through this elaborate thing of setting up the line so that the 6 feet, this is inside the temple now, new temple, brand new temple. But let me finish, they renovated it last year, I think. They had to just set up in such a way that, you know, you still can bait the deities kind of indirectly. You can't bait directly because it's set up that, you know, if too many people touch the conch shell, then the coronavirus may be transferred to them. Therefore, it's like you acknowledge that, yes, you are there, but then it's the pujari that does the pouring of the different, you know, liquids onto the deities. Everything is changed. And so I looked at the vice president, who is my god brother, and I said, now I'm leading the kirtan. Am I singing with the mask or not? I motioned to him, and he said, well, you can take it off. Take it off. I mean, look at the irony of it. Now I have to ask whether I should take my mask off or not just to sing. Now, before that, would anybody bother about a mask? Just a few short months ago, just before March, nobody was worried about that. And look at us now. So there may be trouble going on around the world, but for a devotee, look at it and say, this is another indication. This time is the whole planet now. Another indication that we don't have any business here. There's only trouble here. So now take this process seriously so you can go home. Jat Bharat is saying, he gave an analogy. When the mind becomes absorbed in sense gratification of the material world, see, that is the hellish situation. As soon as a mind gets absorbed in sense gratification in the material world, you're already in hell. You are already in hell, no matter what you're doing. You call yourself enjoyment. You call yourself enjoying your senses here, the senses of the body. You're in trouble. You're going to stay here. And so if coronavirus has done that to us, start thinking, what else is coming down? We haven't had nuclear war yet. But look at how much nuclear, you know, weapons that have been piled up. And China is trying to get, you know, catch up. And North Korea is trying to catch up. And these guys, look at their minds. Kim Jong-un, should I go in detail about it? Of course not. It's not necessary. Crazy people are running the world. And everybody wants power. And, well, I can tell you a story about that. Mother Bhumi, this is in Gaga Samhita. Mother Bhumi, who is the world, her body is the earth. She is the eternal consort of Lord Varaha, Krishna. This is also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Gaga Samhita, indicating that she is, so she's that high. She's not just another demigod. She's at the level of like Lakshmi, the way Lakshmi relates to Lord Narayan. Mother Bhumi, whose body is our earth, the earth that we live on now, she obviously, just like, just think about us. We have bodies. And people are fighting for land. But land is the surface of the body of Mother Bhumi. So imagine that you are a planet. Even your physical body is a planet. And you can imagine that because all kinds of germs also land on it and off and so on. We know we can't even see them because our eyes are not so great. But there are all kinds of entities in the germ form that land on our body. Suppose they start fighting that I want a piece of the skin of my the little finger of my right hand. That's the land I want. And the other person, no, I want the same thing. So they start fighting. In the Middle East, do I need to mention the two countries that have been beating each other? One has been killing all this while. And Mother Bhumi says, they just want a piece of my skin. So she starts laughing at them. You see, you live material life, you actually can become crazy like that. Nobody owns the earth. No one. Only Krishna does. The earth is the body of Mother Bhumi. Mother Bhumi. But everybody's fighting. Give me a piece of this. I want to know this. It's got gold. It's got oil. And on and on and on and on. In the meantime, the body folds up and dies. The good man's body dies. The good woman's body dies. The bad man's body dies. In other words, this is a long way of saying it is a crazy situation here. People don't realize why they are frustrated. They are frustrated because they are living in the material world. That's all it is. You get out, you never be frustrated. You never be in anxiety. That's going back to the spiritual world. The material world is jail. So you get out of jail, you're free. So even if you think about getting out of jail, you're on your way to freedom, which is exactly what Jat Bharat is saying. When the mind is not attached to material enjoyment, then it becomes the cause of liberation. As soon as the mind gets, I'm not going to deal with this material so-called enjoyment ever again. I'm only going to concentrate on Krishna consciousness, and everything I do is going to be directly or indirectly related to Krishna consciousness all the time. And I'm going to keep chanting the entire day. If I have a chance to chant in my mouth, yes. If not, in my mind, yes. I'll chant the whole day though. And then I'll make sure I'll finish 16 rounds of japa. And the 16 rounds is minimum. So yeah, I can do 17, I can do 18, I can do 19. Because if I do a little more, then it means that I'm impressing the transcendental system. Krishna notices everything. So rather than do 16, I'll do 17. Why? Srila Prabhupada says 16 rounds minimum. Well, minimum means you can go up. In fact, you're supposed to go up to 64 rounds, and he just reduced it to 16, only 25%. So, you know, this is a long way of saying dedicate your whole life and your whole heart. Give your heart to Krishna. That's what he says. Give your heart, surrender to me. In so many places in the Shastra, he keeps saying, surrender to me. Sarva dharma parityaja, mahamekam sharanam bhaja, aham tam sarva papebhyo, moksha ishami masuchaha. You're going to religion, they don't talk about Krishna so well. They don't talk about Krishna at the transcendental level. They only go up to mode of goodness. And mode of goodness takes you to heavenly planets, and heavenly planets is the higher and a little bit more enjoyable jail. It is still jail. It's a minimum security jail, that's all. So you get out. Get out of jail. Being in a minimum security jail does not mean you're happier. You're still in jail. You get out and you go to the spiritual world. So you follow the process. That's all religion is going to do for you. Get you to the higher planets. And you hear them in Christianity, we're going to heaven. Well, a heavenly planet is a higher material planet. It's a material planet. Mm-hmm. So even Jesus, Shaktivesh Avatar, he knows everything. His mind is at the level of Lord Vishnu. Yet, because the people don't want to disconnect from material nature, and they lack their sense gratification, the very things that are four regulative principles that we stay away from, you can't get Christians and other religionists to stay away from them. Meat eating, gambling, illicit sex. You know, it's part of their lives. They say it's part of their lives. So because they are not cutting that out of their lives, then they are not able to assimilate transcendental knowledge. So it's their fault. And Jesus said it. As a matter of fact, if you check in, you know, to John chapter 16, text 12, Christ is saying, I have much to tell you, but you're not ready to bear it. In other words, he knew more. He knew all transcendent, everything. He knows more than we do. Because his mind is at the mind of Lord Vishnu. Even though he's a person, you know, with flesh and blood, like, that's what Shaktivesh Avatar means. But the Christians aren't willing to listen. And so he told them simple things. And he says he would take them to one planet, one heavenly planet. Because I checked with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, I asked him this question. But what are, what about those people? I mean, we know now. I was asking him just one-on-one because I was living with him at that time. And I remember very well, he was having lunch. And sometimes I went to him, you know, sometimes we sit and talk. I sit at the floor, he's sitting and I ask him, you came from Christianity, and I also came from Christianity to Krishna consciousness. There are good Christians who take everything the Bible seriously. But you know that they're not going to go to the spiritual world. In fact, they don't even know the spiritual world. All they talk about is heaven. But heaven is just a minimum security deal. And they are good people following the Bible. So I'm saying, in a sense, how come they are so unfortunate that we know stuff and they don't know these things? Then he said, when they go to the heavenly planet, after following Jesus' laws properly, what little he's told them to do, then Lord Jesus will begin to teach them in the heavenly planet what we're learning now. So it's not like they're going to be deprived of Krishna consciousness, but there is a catch. If you hear this and say, oh, I can go to sense gratification, well, Jesus will take me to heavenly planet and then I'll start Krishna consciousness. Well, the catch is time. What do we mean? Well, we are in Kali Yuga. We live how many years? 100 years. If you go to a heavenly planet, how many years do you live? Millions and millions and millions of years. Therefore, if you follow Jesus and you go to the heavenly planet, Jesus is only having mercy on these people because they don't want to renounce. That's why he didn't teach them the extra things that we know. But he already knows. So the plan is, he's giving them a chance to follow watered down spirituality and then go to the heavenly planet. And then he'll start teaching them. Let's be saying, it's going to take millions and millions of years of being in the heavenly planet. Yes, you're going to hear about Krishna consciousness, but compared to a devotee who is here, who lives 100 years because of Kali Yuga, he takes it seriously, Krishna has mercy on him, and they're gone. They leave, and they go to the spiritual world. So the question is, yes, if you follow Jesus, and you go to a heavenly planet with him, and you take the Krishna consciousness seriously there, there is absolutely the chance of going to Vaikuntha. But why would you want to stay in jail, in any part of jail, for 100 million years when you haven't a chance to stay only 100 years? Why would you, give up the short duration of 100 years getting out of jail and because you can want some sense gratification, go live millions of years in the jail when everybody is gone who is a devotee? So it makes no sense. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. It's a question of time. If you become a Christian, the best Christian, and you go to the heavenly planet, you will do Krishna consciousness for millions of years before you go back to the spiritual world. But if you are in here and you go by Srila Prabhupada's program, in only 100 years, you get to go. So even this lifetime, if you are unsuccessful and you come back as a human being, you do another 100 years. And let's just add 50 years on the other side before you came back, another person. So 250 years. And again, you fail. And then you go back another 50 years. All right, so that's 300 years. And you come another time, the third lifetime. Now it's 300 years, almost 400 years. By your third time, this is people who are unsuccessful. They had to try it 3 times before finally Krishna gives them the mercy to go back to the spiritual world because they took it a little more seriously. That is a total of 400-500 years of living here. They are even better off than those who go to the heavenly planets and live for millions of years. So devotees will be long gone out of the jail to the spiritual world before any religionist ever gets a chance to go. Because they'll be sitting on the heavenly planet, the minimum security jail, enjoying sense gratification, and in the meantime, they're suffering. And all devotees, even the weakest ones, are gone. They're gone to the spiritual world. So why would you want to go to a heavenly planet and waste millions of years there when you have a chance to go right now in only 100 years? That's the point we're making. So it's not like Christ won't help them. Now, he will. But because these Christians don't want to renounce, and that goes for all other religions, they don't want to renounce, they don't get a chance. They don't want to renounce means live by the regulated principles that we live by. And chant Hare Krishna is that simple. They don't want to do it. They like all the sense gratification. So the best ones, the worst ones will even go to a hellish planet. But the best ones that follow Christ's letters, instructions to the T, they're going to be in a heavenly planet, minimum security jail for millions of years. Whereas devotee, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, they're gone. They're gone to the spiritual world. So there's no comparison. That's the point we're making. This opportunity, there's no comparison. If you let it go, you have only yourself to blame. That's why Srila Prabhupada is so strict. And sometimes he calls it rascals, because he sees that we have a huge opportunity and we're not even looking at it. So that's the point. He just starts needling us. Mura, mura, mura. Because it actually is true. We're being foolish. So take this seriously. See, you've gotten up early in the morning. It's a wonderful thing to do. You're saving your own self. You're taking advantage of an easy opportunity that's there. Okay? All right. So I'm finishing that part of preaching. Let's get back to this. In the purport, and I'm looking at the time, it's about 7:45, so don't think I'm not aware. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, it's therefore concluded that the mind, this mind, what we think of, we attach into sense gratification things. The mind is the cause of material existence, and also the mind is the cause of liberation. So it's a matter of choice. If the mind is involved, if we involve our minds in sense gratification, then we're going to get stuck here. Life after life after life, body after body after body, according to our desire. At the time we're getting ready to leave the body, whatever we're thinking, then the transcendental system, the Lord's agents arrange for a suitable body like that, then we're gone to that body. Next life, to the mother, the female of that body, who gets pregnant, and we get born again. So it's actually that bad that Srila Prabhupada gave one example. He says, so you have a nice pet dog, no one else in your house, and there's so many people like that, even in my area here. They walk their dogs every morning, very loyal, because dogs, I mean, they fall in love because dogs are loyal. They won't fight you. They won't argue with you. Everything you tell them, if you treat them nicely, they will obey everything. So they're easy to deal with. They're easy to befriend, because in Sweden, people fall for that. Because my dog, I can argue with members of my family, but I'll never argue with my dog, because my dog is always loyal. I don't have to argue with it. So people have fallen in love like that. But the problem is, when you're getting ready to leave the body, this animal that's been loyal to you, it's very hard not to think about the animal. Some people even go to the extent of saying, well, that's what his papa gave of the analogy he was giving when he was preaching, the part that I heard. He said, well, you know, a person is leaving. Suppose a person even have a pet dog. What, you know, they live by themselves. What am I going to do? My pet dog is going to be by themselves if I leave. Let me make some arrangement. You know, this is obviously the sensible thing to do, the natural thing to do. Somebody that loves a dog, make an arrangement, give some of my property, my wealth, for the caring of the dog when I leave the body. The Bodhi started laughing when he said that. He was serious. Then he said, you might leave some property for the dog, but you are going to be dog. In other words, if you think about a dog at the time of your leaving, you're going to be a dog next life. This is exactly what happened to Jat Bharat when he was Bharat Maharaj. He was thinking about a deer that he got attached to and stopped his devotional service because of caring for the deer. And so when he was dying, he thought about the deer. So Krishna taught him a lesson. He is the son of Maharaj Sabadev, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Bharat Maharaj of India. And still, he was thinking about the deer when he died. Therefore, he had to go into the deer's body, albeit for a short time. But Krishna had to teach him a lesson. And so when he got born in India, he went to the Himalayas, to the ashram, and watched the sages. Because a deer can't sit down in meditation. All he had to do was just watch them. But Krishna gave him a boon that he could remember his past life and what he had done, even in the body of that deer. So he realized how much of a mistake he had made. And so when he got born again as Jat Bharat, he decided, I will do everything to make sure that material life doesn't sabotage me again. So he played dumb. He literally played dumb. Made everybody think that he was a madman, even though he wasn't. And that way, nobody will bother him. And that's how he lived until Maharaj Yahugan got him to join some other men to carry his palanquin. And since he was a pure body, literally, he is now Jat Bharat. After the deer, when he was born again as a human being, he was called Jat Bharat. And, you know, he tried to keep himself from stepping on ants on the road when he was carrying the palanquin. And therefore, you know, he disturbed the palanquin. Maharaj Yahugan got upset, got down, blasted him. And then after that, Jat Bharat opened up and said, everything you said pertains to my body. I'm not this body at all. And then Maharaj Yahugan realized that he was in the presence of a self-realized soul. He apologized, offered obeisances, and started asking him questions about life, about spiritual life. And he started answering. And that's what we're dealing with now. This verse about the mind. So this is Jadbarat now, you know, kind of revealed himself in a way as to how highly elevated he is. And now he's instructing Maharaj Rahugan. So he said a number of things. And now we are at, even the previous chapter, Maharaj Rahugan was still hearing. So we are in chapter 11 now. And this text, and the text before, couple of texts before, Jadbarat is talking about the mind. The mind is the cause of material existence. When we are in the spiritual world, the soul has the real mind, as my Guru Maharaj explained to me. Therefore, if we get envious of Krishna because Krishna gets all the attention, everything is focused on Krishna's enjoyment. So in the Shastra, we're told, it's like the male enjoys the female. This is true, we know. Even in our physical bodies, the male enjoys the female. So Krishna is the supreme male, spiritual male, and everything is for his enjoyment. Therefore, everything is female. So that is Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna is the supreme Purusha. And so everything in the spiritual world is done for Krishna's enjoyment. And Krishna also reciprocates so that his servants are also enjoying. So it's a love exchange between Krishna and everyone else and everything else. But sometimes some soul may say, but Krishna is getting all the enjoyment. How come I'm not getting enjoyment at the level of Krishna? You see, then we begin to be envious. But it's the mind of the soul that says that. And Krishna, you know, all right, if that's what you want, then go to the material world and whatever you want to be, you can be like that. I've got so much wealth. You're thinking like, how come you don't have wealth? Like, no, Krishna has wealth, but the wealth is available for everybody. It's for everybody. Whatever you want, Kalpa Bhiksha trees, you can get. Anything you want from a Kalpa Bhiksha tree, you get it. And the enjoyment is going on. See? So we are serving, but we are serving like a servant in a rich man's house, a very rich man's house. Now, this is not an ordinary servant. You can serve the rich man, but look at how you live yourself. Does the rich man provide you a hut? Or the rich man provides you a very decent house and salary and a nice car, even in the material world? So you can imagine, Krishna owns everything. So yeah, we're serving, but we really enjoying very nicely. So Srila Prabhupada calls Krishna the supreme enjoyer. And then he calls us subordinate enjoyers. Because in the spiritual world, when you serve, you still enjoy. Because the atmosphere alone gives you so much enjoyment, and there's no anxiety, and everything is provided. Now, why are we sitting in the material world trying to get ourselves rich at the expense of everything else, our bodies and everything else, and the politics and all of that? There's no comparison. So the only thing is, go home. Everyone is suffering in this material world because of the mind. This is the problem. Everyone is suffering. You either know that you're suffering, or you're in illusion, you're suffering and not realizing that you're suffering because there's a lot of sense gratification things around you, and they have made you think that you're okay. Your house is nice. Your car is a big car. It's not true. It's not true at all. It's still suffering. The whole material world is designed that way. So Krishna deliberately has designed the material world so that when you come here thinking that you're going to be okay, you meet all kinds of suffering. You don't want to get out another body. Whatever you think of, everybody that you get in a new life will give you some sort of suffering. Until one day you say, I'm tired of this. Why am I here? And at that time, when you begin, the same mind begins to think, why am I making myself so tired here? Now I've heard about Krishna consciousness. Why didn't I just take to that? They're telling me that I'm going to go home. I'm living life. I'm thinking I'm living okay. But I'm like a dog on all fours that are barking. And the friend is the guru that's come. And he's trying to get you up. And you say, you won't get up. I'm acting like a dog. Human beings don't act like a dog, but we are in amnesia, not realizing that we're living life on all fours, and we think we're okay. And that is a problem. And if you go internationally, oh my goodness, China, United States, and all of that, so they beat themselves up, and in the end, what happens? They may mess up a part of the world in a nuclear war. That can easily be fixed by the demigods anyway, because they all know that kind of... They actually created this place. Lord Brahma can repair it. What happens to people? a lot of people are going to die, and you go to other parts of the material world for more suffering in their spiritual in their lives. So we have an opportunity to come out of these bodies. So even if somehow we die, it doesn't matter. We can go back to the spiritual world. What matters is if we don't take this easy life that the Baba has given us spiritually, the easy chanting, if we don't take it seriously and we die, then we sabotage our own selves. So it boils down to this. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Some of the things you can do is Bhakti Yoga. In the end, Bhakti Yoga becomes very, very sweet. In the beginning, it's work because we're used to living a life of sense gratification. But Bhakti Yoga is the key. So just have faith. That's why it's important. Have faith that this system will actually free my mind, liberate my mind even while I'm here in this material world. Take to it. And Krishna will in fact open up. He will actually make Krishna consciousness very, very sweet. It just doesn't start off in the beginning like that. Because we are in jail. And if you are in jail and an inmate, you have to prove to the authorities that you are serious about getting out and getting parole. So you don't start and get sweetness in the jail right away. It won't happen. You have to work at it and impress Krishna and impress Guru and impress the devotees that you really want to take this process seriously. Then Krishna starts opening it up in your life. And all kinds of miracles start happening in your life. It actually does happen like that. So there is sweetness, but you work for it. Put in the effort. Serve devotees. Don't offend anybody. Chant rounds. Keep everything that you do in the Krishna consciousness as the priority. Everything material is not a priority. It's not even important. It's only necessary. Why? Because we have these physical bodies. If we didn't have the physical bodies, we won't be doing these material things. We'll be in the spiritual world and doing all spiritual things, no anxiety and great bliss, and everybody associating nicely and serving Krishna. That's our home. And it's very nicely decorated. We won't even have time to go to how the spiritual world is set up. It's actually described in the Gauranga Samhita. It is absolutely wonderful. And that's home. So ask yourself, what do I like to do that I know is not Krishna conscious? What do I like? In other words, what's my sense gratification stuff? So you list that. You can actually do that. List that just so you include that. Sorry, you exclude that from your daily to-do list. In other words, you program yourself. That's what the sannyasis do. They do it without even, you know, all of them, the advanced souls, they have a regular schedule every day that they do. And because they stick to that schedule, and it's all about Krishna consciousness, so the Maya doesn't get a time to deviate them. As I said, you know, the idle mind is devil's workshop. So they take their life seriously. They program themselves from the morning they get up until the end. And there's no Maya programmed into it. So if we do things in Maya, list those things and say, today, from today on, I'm not going to do these things anymore. One, internet. It invades our minds. Okay, we'll be stopping in a minute or so. Internet invades our mind with useless advertisements meant to distract us. You all know, you open YouTube, a lot of videos, you know, are shown to you that in the first page, so many things, immediately distracting. But you want something from YouTube. So what do? Well, you still can open YouTube. But my humble suggestion is go to the search field without bothering to look at everything else and type in what you want and have somebody that's in the mode of goodness give you whatever the answer is that you want. That's all. Social media, it's there. Facebook, Twitter and all of that. Big source of Maya. But it depends on how you deal with it. So, like everything else, if you go to social media, give your association. Don't take the association of non-devotees. How do you do that? Well, one of the suggestions is you can post Krishna conscious material on Facebook and start a discussion. So people will start, you know, answering some things. Maybe some commies may look at it and they don't understand. Some religionists may think that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. They may make nasty comments. They are in the mode of ignorance. So don't worry about it. Take it with a grain of salt and do your best to explain Krishna consciousness statements to them using simple situations and analogies. And that way you can preach. And Krishna says, the one that preaches is most dear to me. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. So watch the mind. That Bharata says, you keep the mind in Krishna consciousness, it's going to be your friend. You keep the mind in sense gratification, it's your enemy, and it will cause you to get another body and stay here in this jail. And we want to get out. So that's exactly the opposite. Don't deal with sense gratification in this world. Hare Krishna. Alright, so we read the text again. Translation, this is Bhagavatam 5.11.8. The translation, when the living entity's mind becomes absorbed in the sense gratification of the material world, it brings about his conditioned life and suffering within the material situation. However, when the same mind becomes unattached to material enjoyment, then it becomes the cause of liberation. And that Bhagavad is saying, a flame in a lamp, when it's not burning properly, the lamp is blackened. The flame in the lamp not burning properly is we are taking these souls, these bodies, and living a material life. Therefore, we are blackening our lives. The lamp is blackening. But when the lamp is filled with ghee and is burning properly, when we're living a spiritual life, because ghee is also used in spiritual activities, so that's why that part particularly chose ghee. And it's burning properly, then it's bright illumination, which means we're living a spiritual life. So similarly, when the mind is absorbed with material sense gratification, it causes suffering. And when it's detached from material sense gratification, it brings out the original brightness of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you for tolerating me, because I know I've really talked a whole hour, actually, I think. Hare Krishna. So you can unmute your phones. That for those who are new, it means you hit star 6 again. And then if you want to ask some questions, we can. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Hare Krishna. Jai, go to the Prabhupada. Krishna's... Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
If anybody has any questions, they can ask Prabhuji now, or I can end the recording.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Go ahead. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, takes you there. Yeah, takes you away. All right. Yeah, well, see. Now you put up 3 points by the time you finish. 3 points about this, okay? You talked about proprietorship the way His Holiness Bhakti Chuu Swami described it. And then you give an example of eminent domain. And I did a real estate course, and I know exactly what eminent domain means. We'll describe that, you know? Proprietorship. It's in Bhagavatam 5.5.8. Okay, the same canto 5, chapter 5, text 8, where Maharaj Shabadeva is instructing his sons. He says, Janasya Moho Yamaham Mamiti. That means I and mine, my things, this is mine, this belongs to me, this belongs to my family. We just already told you that we are living on Mother Bhumi's body. So who really owns anything? Just fancy that you have your own body and some germs and saying, well, this skin on my finger is mine. This skin behind my nose is it's the people in Russia. They have that. And then the skin over the skin, because we are living on the surface, not even inside. The skin of my, the tip of my elbow here, well, that belongs to the Africans. And so on. How ridiculous. You know the skin is all your own body. So that's how Mother Bumi is looking at it. So if you claim anything, Mother Bumi has a right to laugh at you. Because everything is on her skin. And we think that we're so big here we can own anything. And that's what's called proprietorship. This is mine. I'm claiming this as mine. Some country says, well, yeah, but according to my history, I used to be here and you are here now, so I have a right to kick you out. And what is Mother Bumi supposed to respond? Oh, according to history, this part of my skin is yours. And this part of my, you took about the part of my love mound in the middle of my left hand. That one is yours. And the one, you used to live on another corner of my finger here. How come you come into the middle part of my finger and say that's your land? Now, Mother Bumi, he thinks it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. We don't own anything. Everything is owned by Krishna. Krishna says, I am the source of material and spiritual. Everything emanates from me. So if you're not a fool, if you're wise, you devote your whole life to me and know that everything is through me, so you have nowhere else to go. If you're wise, you only stick with Krishna, because this Krishna is the solution of everything. So this whole thing about proprietorship does not make sense. Another way you look at it is, if you say, I own something, Krishna comes as death and takes it all away. And if you take and you're dead, you let this body, then what do you own? Nothing. Sometimes I give the analogy, just one analogy and we stop. Sam Walton. Well, who is Sam Walton? Well, Sam Walton started Walmart. Look how big Walmart is. Sam Walton has died. The family, his family, children, grandchildren, they're the ones running the company. This big chain. Billions of dollars. They make millions every minute, practically. All this money. But Sam Walton himself has left. So fancy this analogy. Suppose Sam Walton was in the mode of ignorance. Probably not. But this, for example, mode of ignorance. And he's dying and he has a nice dog. So he thinks about the dog. And you know what happens. At the time of your death, whatever you're thinking of, Krishna says they'll be put in that body. So Sam Walton's soul and subtle body gets put in the body of a dog. And now he's born as a dog. He has a dog owner. The dog owner likes to shop at Walmart. So Sam Walton, as a dog, is put in a car and put in a parking lot. And they roll down the windows so that he can get some air. And the owner leaves him and goes to Walmart. So Sam Walton, the previous owner of Walmart, is sitting in somebody's car as a dog. And he doesn't even know that he is Sam Walton. In the meantime, Walmart is making all this money. And he's a dog. Now, would you like to be in that situation? I mean, how ridiculous it can be in this material world. Would you like to be in that situation? Sam Walton now owns it. Sam Walton is a bird. Perched on a tree at the back of one of the stores of Walmart. He can't even go in. He's not allowed. And he was the owner in the previous life. Now, how would you like to be in that situation? It's absolutely ridiculous. But people don't realize that. Sam Walton was rich. He was rich in Walmart in the previous life. And now he's a bird. Got nothing. Sitting over there singing songs on a tree somewhere behind Walmart. And he was the owner. How would you like to be in that situation? So this whole thing about mine, this mine, and I put Walmart in there because, you know, talk about owning Walmart. It's one of the biggest things if you are one of the Walmart and Walton family. You got everything. But what's going to happen? What if you become a germ next life? What if you become a cockroach next life? And you are one of the children of Sam Walton, who has a $1 billion company in the previous life. Why would you want to be like that? Why don't you just go home? It's just simple and all of this stops. So even proprietorship is a waste of time. If you are rich, you're not really rich. Richness, wealth, is spiritual wealth. If you chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, and they're heading you out of this world when you leave a body, that's the most sensible thing. Nothing else matters. Hare Krishna. Okay, so hopefully that probably answered part of your question even at all. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Any other, I know you are anyway, but any other questions? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. at all. It's not worth it. You know, people are even talking about, and then the white people did this, and the black people did this. Everybody's in jail. And in jail, so, but your color is like this, and on and on and on and on. It's almost like saying, why is everybody yakking like that? Everybody's in jail. Everybody's got some sort of things that horrible about them and good about them. But if you chant, you get out. So you really have to chant and get out. That's all. Stop offending others and get out. It doesn't matter what color you are, because everybody is in the same soup. But the problem is, the non-devotees don't realize that. That's all. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. See, so you see how lucky you are. You know how to get out, and everybody else is going crazy. So this is the gift that Sri Prabhupada has given devotees. So never offend other devotees, because we are just one of a kind, literally. The only ones that know to get out. Everybody else is running around in this same jail thinking that there's a solution. There's no solution anywhere. It's totally closed. Hare Krishna.
One question.
Mm-hmm.
One question. So, I heard a few lectures where Ajay said, even if you do good sadhana and everything,
yeah. Yes.
So it's like a book of mercy, bhakti will. So you, we can't claim that we have done so much sadhana, so much chanting. We have to get up. There's no guarantee, right?
Well, there's no guarantee on the one hand. And on the other hand, there's a lot of mercy built in. That if you put in the effort, the chances are very high that you will be taken out of the material world.
Chances.
Yes. I mean, I know some devotees. I know some devotees that some of the gurus... Oh, go ahead. You have another question?
So, sometimes, as often as sometimes we have seen devotees get proud, actually. A proud of sadhana, that I'm senior devotee, you're a junior devotee.
Mm-hmm.
That need not be right.
We have to be humble. We have to be humble. No matter what position, how long we've been in Krishna consciousness, we have to be humble. I mean, I've been in this, next year will be 30 years I gave the Krishna consciousness, and I still have to remind myself, when you're writing to people who are younger than me, I'm retired, I'm 68 years old, and 30 years, almost 30 years in Krishna consciousness. So now, so many people are not at that, only Prabhupada disciples are, you know, like that, almost at that level. I mean, not almost, at that level or higher. Almost some of the Prabhupada disciples, I'm actually older than them. Even my GBC, I'm 3 years older than him. I know that. But still, I have to treat him as my spiritual uncle, because he's a brother of my spiritual master. And I make sure I do that. You have to stay. That's the key. The key is humility and manitva. You have to be humble. And Lord Brahma also said it when he met Lord Krishna. And the Lord Vishnu, put his hand on Lord Brahma's shoulder like a friend. Lord Brahma acknowledged that Krishna was being kind, or Vishnu was being kind to him. But he said, you've done this like a friend to me, but I know I'm your servant. In other words, he was telling Krishna, I'm reminding myself that I'm not at your level. This Lord Brahma of this planet said that. So he is careful about how he relates. Very careful about how he relates. Every time that he has done something, or every time that he's met some demon, like Hiranyakashipu, trying to get boons, how he talks, if you see Lord Brahma, every time he speaks very, very, very carefully, very respectfully to everyone. To everyone. And he's the topmost. So that's your example right there. Talk about senior devotees. Lord Brahma is the topmost of the whole planet. And we are in his sampradaya, in his party. Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he's so careful how he talks. So if we just start putting people down that I'm a senior devotee, I'm this, we are the ones that admire. So even senior devotee, yes, that's there for a matter of etiquette. So we can learn how to respect those who are senior to us, so we can learn how to respect the transcendental system, because it's also based on hierarchy, all the way up to Krishna. There are those who are closest to Krishna, the eight principal sakis and so on. They are all humble, true enough, but the system is set up by Krishna that those are closer to Krishna than everybody else. And they are respectful. And so, but we have to also respect them. So it's an interchange of respect. from senior and junior devotees. So even if somebody is senior, if they really know what they're doing, they will not disrespect the junior devotee. They will not. They will give mercy, they will guide, but they will not disrespect. So if a senior devotee is blasting somebody and being very, very, very offensive in certain ways, that's not good. The only time that, this is good, Govinda Maharaj explained this. He said, when it comes to criticism, that's for the guru. All devotees should not criticize. Only the guru can. Why? Because the guru's criticism is like a parent fussing at a child for not doing the right thing. But the parent doesn't hate the child. The parent loves the child and wants the child to do better. And that's why sometimes the child becomes too troublesome and won't listen. Then the parent may raise a voice and chastise. That's all guru does. That's why gurus sometimes do like that. Because they're like the coach. A coach meets a team and starts to, hey, you're doing this, you're not doing this. The whole team. And sometimes he points to an individual person. Listen, we gave you this move and you didn't do this move. Why? Is it because the coach hates that person? No. We want the person to improve so that the whole team would win. That is the mentality of a guru. So when they do that, don't be surprised. Because they're in that position. But devotees, like the regular players, if one player starts fussing at another player, they're not going to play well. They're not going to help each other. Then the team loses. So that's why we have to be careful in how we relate to each other. And our guides, the gurus, they will in fact be, sometimes senior devotees may play the role of a guru and say something that, because they're very, very, very passionate about it, that they're concerned that a junior devotee may make a mistake and leave, and therefore for that reason, they may raise their voice in concern, but they will never insult. If you insult, you cross the line. That's aparad. Even to the junior devotee. That's aparad on the part of the senior devotee. But gurus can actually use heavy words because they are coaching. That's different. Okay, so that's the difference. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Nina. Mataji, or Gautam Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Please bless us, Prabhu. Need your blessing every day. Please do bless me. Many pronounce such a lovely sweet, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy.
I'll go ahead and switch off the recording then.
Sure.
There are no further questions.
Jai. Hare Krishna, everybody. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.